Everybody in favor of a 15-minute sermon, say amen. All right. Well, we'll get one next week, and I'll do the best I can on this one. All right? Amen. Amen. Chapter number 4, the book of James. Thank you so much for praying for us. I think Trudy did a phone tree. I got our test results back from the blood work on Thursday. I do not have infection. That's what we were concerned about. I thank the Lord for that. And thank God. I will be going to Raleigh Orthopedic this week. There's some other little situations. I'll go on Tuesday to have MRI and x-rays and all further evaluated and some whatever to do. But I thank the Lord for that. I was telling somebody right over there, I forgot who it was. But Timmy's a young man, and he has a problem. But some of us say it's old age. I don't believe that, but I didn't get old all of a sudden. I've been working at it for 69 years now. So, but anyhow, notice in your Bible, please, the book of James. The book of James. I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture to us this morning. In James chapter 4. I'm sorry, I didn't even tell you what chapter. James chapter 4. And then I'm going to have you to turn to the book of Revelation chapter 10. So if you want to go ahead and find that, Revelation chapter 10. And we're going to look at that passage of Scripture together. Now, if you were not here last Sunday or the last two Wednesday nights, we thank you so much. It's hard to believe it's going on almost a month now since we left to go to Wyoming. We had tremendous time. We had a great time there in Cheyenne at the with the ministry, Brother Leroy Jones, his wife Kim, at the Coffee Pot Fellowship. They have a chapel set up there. It's a double-wide mobile home on the truck stop parking lot there. And we had revival there. We did Bible study on Wednesday night and then had two nights of revival on Sunday morning. And then I preached at Faith Baptist Church in Cheyenne, two services on Sunday. And so we were very blessed. And then we enjoyed God's great country some. And thank you for those of you who prayed with us. It was a tremendous chance to meet a lot of preachers. On Saturday, we had a cookout and all for the truckers there on the parking lot and had a lot of truckers to come. A good many of them stayed for the services. We had truckers from 9 different states there, and that's not counting how many we had on Friday night. Of course, you know, some of them had to leave out. But I know there were truckers from 9 different states. Had one group, couple that drove in from Nebraska who'd been picking up Highway Shepherd CDs, and they drove all the way from Nebraska to be there. And then the 9 other were different truckers from some of them, several different states, a lot of Cheyenne in that area. But 9 different states represented, and we had a great time. And I thank you for praying for us. James chapter number 4, Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, and I'll just read a verse or two there in just a moment. But look at James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I'll leave off the reading there. I emphasize to you there in verse number 13. Go you to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Turn over to the book of Revelation now, chapter number 10. Revelation chapter 10, I want to read verse 5 and 6. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are there, that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein, that there should be time no longer. Isn't that an interesting statement? Time no longer. Now, if you have a marginal reference and you look, you understand he's talking about the great judgment of God, and he's talking about there's no more postponing judgment. But that little phrase got in my heart as I thought about James. And James said, we say today or tomorrow we're going to do something. There's something about that word tomorrow that has in it great prospect. We think about tomorrow, I'm going to do this tomorrow. It may be a bad day today, but it's going to be better tomorrow. And the Bible does say that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. But for all of us, tomorrow is probably going to be a better day because we think about what's going on today. And it must be a good day because we put off most of the time, most everything until tomorrow. We think that's a good day to do things. But we think tomorrow's going to get better. That's what keeps us going sometimes. I mean, you're not feeling well or you're not doing good, but tomorrow you have prospect of being better. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I got to thinking about what the Bible said. The Bible said, this is the day the Lord hath made. We rejoice and be glad in it. And today, God operates in the terms of today. We ought to be ready for tomorrow, but God operates in the terms of today. In fact, he says, today is the day of salvation. I cannot, on the authority of God's word, tell anybody in this building or in an internet audience today that you can get saved tomorrow. Can't do that. But I can assure you that you can be saved today. Today is the day of salvation. But tomorrow is such a positive word. But suppose there is no tomorrow. In the book of Revelation, it says there's a time he declares time to be no more. We operate in time. God doesn't operate in time. God is eternal. God is eternal. We are operating this realm of time. But time is running out on America, on individuals. And there's going to be a time when he says, time shall be no longer. No longer. No tomorrows. No tomorrow. I got to thinking, I'm told you I'm trying to learn a little bit about the computer. Not much, though. I don't like to fool with it much. But I thought I'd Google the word tomorrow. Find out about that. I Googled the word of tomorrow. And you know what I found? When it pops up there and you got the word tomorrow, and it said one of 627 million. I didn't read all those. And I'm not going to read them all for you today that I found on Google about tomorrow. I was interested when it said the definition, or first of all, the etymology of the word, where the word came from, tomorrow. And as I got to looking at it, the compound word to morgen. Now, if you've ever been to Germany, the Germans say guten morgen. That means good morning, good morning. And that's the root of this word. And the word to means in or at. And the word morgen, of course, means morning. It means in or at the morning. And then further down, it said this. And if you go way back, it had this meaning. It means to blink. The root word of tomorrow means to blink or to twinkle, like a twinkle in an eye or the blink of an eye. And what it's saying is, it's gone just like that. And James said, what's your life? It's even a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Tomorrow. You know what? Today is yesterday's tomorrow. And before you know it, it'll be gone. Did you know that almost all of September is gone already? It's hard to believe, isn't it? Tomorrow. And we look at it with great prospect. But I want to give you a little challenge this morning. Suppose there is no tomorrow. There's coming a day in America when there'll be no more tomorrow. And there's coming in your life when there'll be no more tomorrow. But as I was going through and looking at the etymology of the word, right down below that, it had the definition of the word. Now, this is very insightful, and you'll enjoy this. What is the definition of the word tomorrow? What is tomorrow? It is the day after this present day. Isn't that great? It's the day after this present day. And I don't know why, but as I was thinking about that, I got to thinking about Orphan Annie. How many of you know who Orphan Annie is? You've heard of Orphan Annie? I bet you half of you could sing this song. And so I printed out the song, Tomorrow. Listen to what it says. This is her fault, raising orphanages and all that. It said, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck in a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick up my chin and grin and say, the sun will come up out tomorrow. So you're going to hang on till tomorrow, come what may. Tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're always a day away. And when I'm stuck when I'm stuck in a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick up my chin and grin and say, the sun will come out tomorrow. And so we got to hang on till tomorrow, come what may. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're only a day away. But do you know what? There is a land of no tomorrows. There is a land. I don't believe I'd bet a dollar that the sun's going to come up tomorrow. I don't believe I'd bet anything past what God's promised us, which is today. This is the day the Lord's made. As I read through this passage of Scripture and prayed during the week, I got to thinking that there is a land of no tomorrows. Look in your Bible in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 29. And I want you to write a few of these scriptures down and turn to them with me. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, it says this, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'd say to you today that there is no tomorrow of salvation for those who harden their neck and go past that point of grace when God said they shall suddenly be cut off. You know, say, just about everybody that I've talked to, they most of them are cordial. Very few say, no, I don't want to get saved whatsoever. Most people I talk to about the Lord and witness to, they say this to me, well, not today. What they're saying is, tomorrow. I'm going to get saved tomorrow. Some of you may be in here before the day's over. God's Holy Spirit will speak to you, and he'll draw you, and he'll convict you of your sin and show you need a Savior. But there'll be something inside of you and your old nature and in Satan himself saying, not today, tomorrow, tomorrow. But there's coming a day of no tomorrows. There's coming a day when that last breath will be taken, that last heartbeat will pound, and there'll be no tomorrow for salvation for you, none. None whatsoever. I'm thinking about the Apostle Paul as he was in prison, and King Agrippa stood before him and he shared the gospel with him and told about how good God had been to him and how God had saved him and everything. And God moved in the life of Agrippa. And Agrippa said, I almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And he said, I'll hear of this matter at a more convenient season. You know what he's saying? Not today, but tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. But you know what? The Bible never accounts that Agrippa got saved. I can only imagine him in hell today, living in a land where there are no tomorrows. No tomorrows in hell. I was thinking about that, and I said, now, is that true? No tomorrows? Because I do know the Bible said in the book of Revelation that the beasts and false prophets are there, and they're tormented day and night forever and ever. And all those who die and go to hell will be there forever and ever. Didn't it mean there'd be a tomorrow? Not really. I got to thinking about it. Day and night, day and night, day and night. Some of you saw a movie one time. I'm not endorsing the movie. I just thought about the name of it as I thought about this. Called Groundhog Day. This guy lived the same day over and over again every day. Every day. It said day and night. Not another day. Just day and night, day and night, day and night. That continuous day in hell. For all eternity. No tomorrow. No escape. No relief. None. And you know what? Old Brother Avery used to say this. People talk about spending time in hell. He said, you don't spend time in hell. Time don't spend in hell. It's the same day. Every day. Tormented. Day and night. Forever and ever. Same day. Forever and ever and ever. There's a land of no tomorrow. And it's for those who have rejected the gospel. Those, my dear friend, who have been spoken to and warned, and they keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And one day, there'll be no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow for salvation in regard to those, my dear friend, who have rejected Christ over and over again. Then there's another group of people I want to call your attention to. Turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament. In 2 Thessalonians, I want to call your attention to a passage of Scripture here in 2 Thessalonians. As he talks to us, I'm going to keep things in sequence. I'm going to have to come back to something else in a minute, but I want to skip ahead to this. Somebody asked me the other day, it may have been at the truck stop in Wyoming, about those who go through the tribulation period and those who go into tribulation. You see, the rapture is fixing to occur. I mean, Jesus is coming again. There are some people who really believe he may come either in this month of September. And on September the 28th is the fourth red a blood moon of 2014 and 15. This is the last of the sequence. And there's only been a few times in all of history when all of the blood moons fell on a Jewish holiday. And this year, 2015, September 28th is the last one. And you know what? Every time in history, you go back and look through history, on those Jewish holidays when there's a blood moon, there's something significant that happens. And there is the Feast of Trumpets. And that Feast of Trumpets, my dear friend, is a reminder of the calling out of Israel. And I'll read 1 Thessalonians in a minute. But here's what I want to say to you. There's no tomorrow for those who reject Christ and they come to that point when they are suddenly cut off. There's no tomorrow. But I'd say this to you. For those who missed the rapture, if you're in here this morning and Jesus comes and those of us who are saved will leave, you'll never have a chance to be saved. There's no tomorrow of second chances if you miss the rapture. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let me read this passage of Scripture in the book of 2 Thessalonians. I believe I'll start with verse number 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together in him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by the Spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Now, he's talking about the revelation of Antichrist. If you know Bible chronologically, if you understand the picture, the rapture occurs, saints are taken, and then Antichrist comes to the forefront. I believe he's in the world today. I believe he's a prominent world figure today. And he'll take over the whole thing. And willingly, people will submit to him, knowing that we need, and everybody's clamoring for it now, we need a one world system. We need a one world government, United Nations, and we've clothed our American military in UN clothing, worldwide clothing, identified them in certain areas. But notice this. It said this, there's going to come a great falling away. I'm going to tell you, there is in this America, we are not on a slow decline. We fell off the cliff. I mean, it's going to the bottom just like this theologically. It's going to the bottom just like this morally and politically and every other way. And he said there's a great falling away. And then he said that man of sin be revealed, Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, and so that he as God sendeth to the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He's talking about what's happening during the tribulation period. And when Antichrist walks in, he's allowed Israel to rebuild the temple. And then instead of them being able to go into their worship services, he comes in and proclaims himself to be God. And he said this, verse 6, now you know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, that means hinder, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. That's the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Right now, the only thing that's holding back the tide in any semblance at all in the whole world is the minister of the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit of God, when this rapture occurs, do you think his Holy Spirit's going to be taken away? He just releases his influence. He allows men to do exactly what they want to do, led by their wicked nature. But now notice a little further. It says this, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness to them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now he's saying this. Let me finish reading it. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, what does that say to me? Here's what it says. After the rapture of the church, when Jesus takes all the saints out, you're sitting here and you say, Brother Billy, if right now Jesus comes and all the Christians leave, that shocked me so much right then I'd cry out to God. No tomorrow. Too late. Too late. Because he said here in this passage of Scripture, those who would not receive the truth, those who have heard the truth and rejected the truth, he will send them strong delusions. You'll be so deceived. You'll have no idea what happened. You won't know where mama went, where daddy went, where your husband went. You won't have any idea why all that. There will be newscasts explaining the mission of all the saints of God, and you will accept every bit of it. Why? He said, I'll send them strong delusions that they might believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth. There are no tomorrows of second chances after the rapture of the church. You say, well, I believe folk could get saved. If they've ever heard the gospel and they've rejected the gospel, if they reject the truth, if I read that in black and white, that's exactly what that says. No tomorrows. I can tell you right now, you can be saved today. You can be saved today. You say, well, I'm just not sure. You know, if that happened, if Jesus came and everybody in this room left that was saved, then I would, no, you won't. No, you won't. Because there's no tomorrow of a second chance for those who missed the rapture. None. None whatsoever. Oh, listen, thank God, there's a land of no tomorrows. And that's an awful thing to think. There's no tomorrow of salvation for those who get cut off. There's no tomorrow of a second chance for those who missed the rapture, yet they've heard the gospel, rejected Christ. None. Turn back in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice the land of no tomorrow. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, he said this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw or not, even so which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we shall not, we which are alive remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep, that is, those who've died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort or strengthen one another with these words. I quoted that for you, and I quote it quite often. What's going to happen? Any moment now. In a moment. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to call out those who are saved, rapture, get caught up, and we'll be caught up together. And those who've died, the Bible said, absent body, present with the Lord, body and spirit reunited and in a brand new body. And we'll meet them in the clouds, and then we'll meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord. Oh, listen, I want to say a word of warning to you in that regard, though. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, write this down, I won't turn to it. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, he talks about doing some things so that you would not be ashamed at his coming. I'd say this, there's coming a day for me and you who are saved, there'll be no tomorrow of service. There'll be no tomorrow of service. Most of you have got a burden for somebody that's lost. Most of you have got somebody that's out of fellowship with God. And most of you are waiting till tomorrow to call them. You're going to do it tomorrow. And you're sitting here this morning and just now the Holy Ghost of God reminded you that you have been saying over and over and over and over again that you were going to witness to him. Yeah, and when he'd speak to your heart, you said, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And yet tomorrow never got there. And that's a sad thing, and sad thing for me. But you know what? There's coming a day of no tomorrows in regard to our service. You won't ever be able to do the things that God's burdened your heart. You have to live the rest of eternity with the reality that you didn't witness or you didn't do this or didn't do that or didn't do the other. My dear friend, listen, I'll give you this passage of Scripture. I kind of run all this together. There's no tomorrow for service for those of us who are raptured out. You won't ever get to witness again. You won't ever get to pray again. You won't ever get to do those things that we do for people now. And my dear friend, the key is we do it now. We do it now. Do what God has burdened our heart to do now. Don't wait. Listen, you know what? Let's just pray that God and the Holy Ghost, this is a pretty good crowd. Brad mentioned we got some people missing, but we've got a pretty good crowd. But there are people missing. A church family is missing. Some on vacation, some sick, first thing, no. But I want us to do this. You take it as a personal challenge from the pastor. I want you to take your church directory and go down through there, and between now and revival with Brother Randy Perry, first Sunday and homecoming in October, try to call as many of your church family as you can and your friends. And when you call them, take an opportunity to tell them you love them and tell them that you miss them. And if they hadn't been in church a while, tell them you're praying for them. And if they're lost, tell them that you sure would love to see them get saved and tell them how much Jesus loved and died for them. And use that as an opportunity to win. But try to contact as many people as you can. There's coming a day when there'll be no more tomorrows for service for me and you. None whatsoever. The Lord said there's coming a night when no man worketh. There's coming a, the day is coming that we can't do anything for God. You can't do anything for your grandchildren. You can't do anything for your other children. And in regard to spiritual thing, it'll be over with when the Lord comes. No more opportunities. No tomorrows. No tomorrows. And then in this regard, in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, the Lord told a parable. And he's a man who had, God had blessed him. He had a great harvest. And he said, what am I going to do with all this harvest? Never thought about giving any of it away. Never thought about investing it in the work of God. You know what he said? He said, I will tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns and I will store them. If you go through there and look at all the times he used the word I. And the passage of scripture says this. He said, I'm going to tear down these barns. I'm going to build bigger barns and all these. And the verse says this, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then who shall all these things be? Can I tell you, there's coming a day of no tomorrows for your stewardship, for what God's entrusted to me and you to use for his glory, to give, to be a blessing to people, to help people, to share with people, and to share in missions and the cause of Christ. There's coming a day of no tomorrow when you cannot, what God's entrusted you with, use it for his glory. And you'll leave it behind. You'll leave it behind. There's coming a day of no more stewardship. Coming a day of no more stewardship. But can I have you to turn and once again to the book of Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I'm finished with my 20-minute sermon. Revelation 21. And look with me. There's a land of no tomorrows. There's a land of no tomorrows for those who reject Christ over and over again and are suddenly cut off. There's a land of no tomorrows in regard to second chances. You won't ever have another chance to get saved. If you miss the rapture and left during the tribulation, no second chance. You don't get another chance. It's over. You'll have to live through all the horrors of the wrath that God pours out on this earth during that 7-year period of the tribulation period. There's coming a day of no more service, no tomorrow of service. We won't be able to do tomorrow what God's called us to do today. And there's coming a day of no tomorrow of stewardship. There's coming a day that all the money in the world you've got will not benefit the cause of Christ whatsoever, unless whoever you leave it to invest it in the cause of Christ somehow. But there's another land of no tomorrows that's a little more positive that I like, and I love it. And I need to be admonished, need to be warned, as all of us do. But I look for this right here. Notice in the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. I call your attention, please, verse number 23. In the middle of all this wonderful passage of scripture, I just started right here. Verse 23, Revelation 21. And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Hey, there's another land of no tomorrows. I mentioned to you last week about how so many of my good friends have gone home to be with the Lord. And as I was thinking about this passage again, I was thinking about our little girl, Christy. Do you know what? She's never seen a sunset since the day she died.
Oh, I love sunsets. I like sunsets. But she's never seen the sunset because she's living in a place in the presence of the sun, S-O-N, forever and ever. There's no night there. And you don't have a sunset if you don't have it. You're not going to have any night if you don't ever have a sunset. The land of no tomorrows. I mean, there's a land of no tomorrows. It's a land of no tomorrows where there are no sorrows. Thank God for that. Oh, listen, we look with great anticipation most of the time for tomorrow, but some of us don't. Some of you don't. If you're expecting to have cancer surgery on Monday, that's not going to be your favorite day on Sunday. If you know you got to go into Rex Hospital, wherever, and be put to sleep and go major surgery, that may not be your favorite. Tomorrow may not be your favorite day. It may not be. Some of you are looking toward other things that wouldn't be very pleasant in the days to come. And that tomorrow's not a pleasant thought. But thank God there is a land of no tomorrow. There is a land, my dear friend, where there's no more sorrow and no more suffering and no more separation. Thank God for that. I'm glad the sun won't ever set on Glory Land. I'm glad, my dear friend, that when we enter that gate, there'll be no darkness there and there'll be no setting sun. We'll never be tired again, we'll never have a pain again, never have a tear again when we enter that land of no tomorrows, where we live in endless bliss and endless day for all eternity in the presence of the Lord. And thank God for that land of tomorrow. Hey, and you know what? If I were to rewrite this song and sing it again tomorrow, oh, listen, I don't know exactly how I would phrase it, but I'd say this. I'm looking for a land of no tomorrows. I'm looking to a land where we don't ever get old, a land where we don't ever have another pain, sorrow, any of those things. And it's the land of no tomorrows. It's where you live forever in the very presence of the Lord. Why? Because today you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. I believe there's somebody here this morning who will do that. I believe there's somebody in here in the sound of my voice or in this building or in the internet somewhere that you've been saying the devil's deceived you into saying tomorrow or next week or whenever I'm going to do this or that or the other. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to do it today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart because there may not be a tomorrow. Would you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting me be in the house of God today. Thank you, our Father, for your touch. Thank you for the blessing of the choir and for Ashlyn this morning. And God, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be reminded of the latest harvest sale, just to be with God's people and get to shake a few hands and hug a few necks and, God, to be in your presence. But, Lord, what a sad thing to think. There may be a boy or girl, a man or woman in the sound of my voice, that our Father, they're sitting right on the doorstep of no tomorrow. They're sitting right now in the last day they ever live. And according to the definition of tomorrow, it is the day after this present day. But for some, there'll be no tomorrow. No tomorrow chance of salvation. No tomorrow chance of service. No tomorrow chance of stewardship. No tomorrow, our Father, a chance of loving you and serving you. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, our Father, speak to hearts. Now, do what I cannot do. Please convict their heart, drawn by your grace. I pray, God, that they'd say today they'd hear your voice. And today they'd trust you as saving Lord. And this would be, our Father, the greatest day of their life when they're born again by the grace of God. And God, for those of us who are saved, I want to thank you for the reminder that someday there'll be no more tomorrows for our stewardship and for our service. And God, help us to do today what you'd have us to do today. Help us to be faithful to you. And God, to those things you've laid on our heart, help us not to put it off, but to do it then, immediately, and obey you. And I pray now the Holy Ghost of God, our Father, would speak to the hearts of your people as well. God, help us to be faithful. And our Father, what a blessing, what an encouragement to know that one day the Lord Jesus Christ himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, then we which are alive remain be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And let that land of no tomorrows, where our Father the joy will never wane,
where the light will always be bright, where the joy will always be endless, where the peace will never be broken, where there will never be another sorrow, another tear. Thank you for that land of constant day and constant light, of your presence and joy. And it's all because of Calvary and the shed blood of Christ. And I pray, God, this morning that God the Holy Ghost will draw men and women, boys and girls. And I thank you, Lord, for speaking. As we pray this morning, just before I give the invitation for you to move, I want to ask you a question. Is there a person in here who'd say to me, Brother Billy, God the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me. I know I need to be saved. And I've been putting it off. I've been debating around. And I'm just not sure. Just don't know what to do. Can I tell you, you get saved by grace through faith, and that in itself is a gift of God. I'll promise you, if you'll take one step of faith, just take one step of faith and say, oh, God, save me right now. Lord Jesus, come in my heart. I want to see. He'll do that. And there's always an element of doubt in that step of faith. But you step anyway. You believe God. God will make yourself real to you. If you genuinely know that you're lost and you need a Savior, He'll save you today. Today is the day of salvation, no promise of tomorrow. If the Lord wills, we shall live, James said. None of us in this building may not live past tomorrow or till tomorrow. But my dear friend, today I can tell you one thing, He'll save you today. You say, Brother Billy, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Just before I close in prayer, would you raise your hand up across the building? I'm looking, men and women, boys and girls across the building. Say, preacher, pray for me. There's some at the altar already, and I want you to be obedient this morning. You're not saved. Will you come? How about this morning? A boy or girl, man or woman, teenager. I'm more and more I'm beginning to believe that it's the next generation that if we ever see revival in America, it's going to happen to these young people. I believe that. I want to thank you, young people, for being faithful. Thank you for all you do for the Lord here and all the ministries that you're involved in. I want to see you and you be involved in more, and I want to help you if I can. But I wonder, is every person here saved this morning? Suppose there is no tomorrow. Suppose, unlike the song says, you can bet your bottom dollar the sun will come up tomorrow. Maybe the sun's not going to come up this morning. Maybe there'll not be another day. No tomorrow. How about you? Hey, how about those of us who are saved? Is there things in your life, things in your ministry, in your life that God's been dealing with you and you're going to do? Maybe He's been speaking to you about fasting or praying or visiting, and we just keep putting it off and off and off. One day there'll be no tomorrow. We won't ever have a chance to do it. We'll have to stand before Him at the judgment seat, be embarrassed because we put off. I don't know what God wants you to do. I don't know. But if you're a Christian this morning, God spoke to you, let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will move. Now, Father, I pray for those people who are lost this morning. I pray, God, you deal with them. Draw them by your grace and save them. I pray, God, for those saints and for me, Lord God, help me, our Father, to be busy about the Master's business, not to put off to tomorrow what I need to do today, and God, to obey you every day in that 24-hour time frame, to live in a capsule of one day, serving you today, loving you today, praising you today, witnessing for you today, doing what you want me to do today. And God, I know that you'll take care of tomorrow. And God, I pray, God, Lord, for those who are heavy-hearted today. Lord, I'm glad to know that those of my friends, those of my family, who've left this world already, they live in a land of no tomorrows. Every day, it's just day, day, and day. Wonderful time. Never get weary, never get tired. It never gets old. It's just endless joy and bliss for all eternity because of what you did for us on the cross. I pray that'll be a comfort to those whose loved ones have gone on. And God put in us a great anticipation and anxiety and anxiousness. As Paul said, to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. But to remain is more needful. And while we're here, help us be faithful. But look with great anticipation and great joy to that day when we meet our loved ones in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord on that day in that land of no tomorrows. Forever and ever, endless day and no night. God, we thank you for that. God, help people to obey you.